you take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 8. We're going to look at the manifestation of believing this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 8. When we begin to work the Word of God on any subject, we want to be careful to adhere to the basic keys on how the Word interprets itself. Hello, Tuna.
Good morning, brother.
One of the keys I like to set before you today is that things that are similar are not identical. Similar things are not identical. I remember in the class when the doctor taught us this great truth, he used the example of a bologna sandwich and tea. And what he said was, if you ate a bologna sandwich and had tea for lunch on Monday, I'm paraphrasing, and you eat a bologna sandwich and had tea for dinner on Wednesday, are the bologna sandwiches and the tea identical or are they similar? And the answer is they're similar because they are not the same bologna sandwich because you ate it on Monday, right? Now that's, you understand that. And then he went on to teach us great truths about things that are identical and things that are similar. The same truth applies to the Word of God if we're going to rightly divide the Scriptures. You're in Luke chapter 8, and beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. So you see this parable that Jesus shared. Now, many times in the Word of God, Jesus would share the same thing over and over again. We have the record of this parable being shared again in Mark chapter 4. And as I'm thinking of this, I might as well say that, you know, you don't have to teach a new thing every time you teach. Jesus took the time to share the same parables over and over and over and over again, right? Sometimes to the same people, sometimes to different people, sometimes to a mixture of the both. But there's lessons to be learned, and it depends where you are spiritually in your life and what you're going through, how God will minister to you, and you'll see, I never saw that before. Or it'll touch your heart in a way that it never touched it before because you're in a different place in life. But in Mark chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it what?
Withered away.
And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, at a casual glance, you might think that these two parables are identical, that they're just recorded in different gospels. And this could be explained by the different writers. For instance, Luke was a physician. Luke's vocabulary would have been extensive compared to Mark. Okay? If you look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, Luke, the beloved what? Physician. And Demas greet you. So here we have the word of God backing up that Luke was a physician. But upon closer inspection, we're going to take a look and see if these parables are similar or if they are identical. In Luke chapter 8, go back there again. In verse 8, as he's closing this parable out, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Okay? Now there's other points, and I'm aware of other points. I'm just giving you a few so I can move on with the teaching. Here we see that only the disciples are listed as questioning about the meaning of the parable. Go to Mark chapter 4. Once again, verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the what? Here we see the word says that they that were about him with the 12 asked about the parable. In Luke, it was only the 12 that asked about the parable. They that were about him with the 12. The word with is the preposition son. And the preposition son means besides, or it means in the company with. So there were more people at this particular record asking about the meaning of the parable along with the disciples than there were what was recorded in Luke. In Luke chapter 8, we see another truth. Luke 8, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. There were too many people around him. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Verse 21. And he answered and he said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and what?
Do it.
This statement, this portion is recorded after Jesus taught the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. After it's all done, things happen, then his mother and brethren come to see him. They couldn't see him for the press. And so he said, these are my mother and brethren, the ones that do the word of God, after he taught the parable. Go to Mark chapter 3. Beginning in verse 31, and again, we're checking between Mark and Luke. Then came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling. And the multitude sat about him. And they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Mark chapter 3 is recorded before he teaches the parable of the sower, which begins in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. So can these records be identical? No. They're only what?
Similar.
They're similar. Now, that's not that hard to see or understand, right? Sure, it's simple. They're similar because they were taught at different times, at different places, to different people. Now, some of the people may have been at both teachings, but they are only similar. You understand? Now, so it is when you begin to work the subject of believing and faith in the Word of God. We must be careful not to call things that are only similar identical, or we'll get in the soup. I taught you last week that positive believing is to have confidence and trust in the information that you receive to the end that that information is acted on. I also taught you that we must have confidence and trust in the source of that information. And concerning our purposes, the source of the information that we receive is who?
God.
That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll tell you where to go. Or get off sometimes. The reliability of the source determines the credibility of the information. Positive believing is that inner conviction in the heart of the mind, which produces action and appropriates results. Now, you may believe in something, but you may not care enough to do anything about what you believe. That's pathetic. It's one of the words that come from that Greek word that means unbelief. In such a case, the word calls your believing dead. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, Even so faith, pistis, believing, even so believing, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Dead being alone. To have doubt or worry about the information received to the end that the information is not acted on, that is what we call the negative side of believing. For instance, you hear the teaching of God's word, you're sitting there scratching your head saying, does this guy know what he's talking about? He doesn't teach like my preacher teaches. I'm going to put him under the microscope to make sure he passes the test. If you decide, I don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to leave here and you're not going to receive the benefits of what I'm teaching you. That's negative believing if I teach you the word. On the other hand, if I teach you the word and I present the word of God and you see the word as the truth, then you'll leave here and be able to benefit on that which I've presented unto you. Fear issuing in unbelief is due to wrong teaching or ignorance. Wrong teaching can be corrected by right teaching, and ignorance can be corrected by instructions. Now, if you take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. God told me all this stuff. I've never heard or learned any of this before. No, that's not true. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Here the word instructs us that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart, we will be what?
Saved.
We will be saved. Now remember, positive believing, I taught you, is that inner conviction of the heart, of the mind, which produces action and appropriates results. This is where we get this definition from. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you're going to receive what? In this case, salvation. Salvation. But you can take that principle of confessing and believing and apply it to other things in the Word of God and receive the same way. See? It's that simple. Now keep in mind what we just read in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We read that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and that we if we believe in our heart, we will be what?
Saved.
We'll be saved. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Romans told us that when we believe in our heart, we're going to be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say the gift of the Spirit. Now, there's a difference between a gift and a manifestation. And just about all of Christendom teaches gift, and it's not a gift. And the Greek says manifestation. So we're talking about what? Manifestations. Manifestations. I have a cigarette lighter that Chuck gave me. That's a gift. Got it? It was a gift that Chuck gave me. When I go like this and the flame comes on, that's the manifestation of that gift. And I light my cigar. Cuban. Right? That's the difference between a gift and a manifestation. I have a gift of a... Let's leave it with the cigarette lighter because I start talking about guns. We might not have some gun fans among us. Okay. So, it says that the manifestation, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, list the profit. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a manifestation of the Spirit. For the manifestation of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. Now he's listing the manifestations of the Spirit. One of the manifestations of the Spirit is word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is a companion manifestation. It works with word of knowledge. It works with discerning of spirits. It works with believing. Word of wisdom is wisdom from God on what to do, on how to proceed in a certain circumstance or situation that you're involved with, that you're receiving revelation from. That's what word of wisdom is. To another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit. These are all come by the same Spirit. They all come from God. They're all part of that gift that God gives you. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Plural. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. See? The interpretation of tongues. We had a whole weekend last week where Reverend Petty shared with us about the manifestation of speaking in tongues, right? It's a manifestation of the Spirit, and he devoted a whole weekend to speaking in tongues. Verse 7 teaches us that God is talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. That's the context. We're talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. One of the manifestations of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Another is prophecy. Another is the interpretation of tongues. We heard prophecy and interpretation in tongues just a little bit ago. That was a manifestation. That was the Spirit being manifest in the concrete, in the senses realm, so that you could see, hear, smell, taste, or touch it. You heard it, okay? That's a manifestation of the Spirit. Listed with these manifestations of the Spirit is the manifestation of faith or believing. It's the word pistis, the manifestation of believing. So with word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, interpretation, prophecy, gifts of healing, works of miracles, and speaking in tongues is pistis or believing. It's a manifestation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. You know why the word but is there? Because people don't understand. The word but is there to set in contrast that which preceded to that which follows. And that which preceded was talking about some gifts. But they forget to read the word but. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now we're not talking about gifts anymore. We're talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man. Is every man able to manifest the Spirit?
Yes.
No. No. No, he's not. Or is every believer able to manifest the Spirit? You see, there's a difference, right? Can you go up to Joe off the street? Comes out of the saloon. He's got a spirit in him. And you say to him, give me some prophecy. And he'll look at you and say, what? Can he manifest prophecy if he's not born again? No, not of the true God anyway. You see, he's talking about every believer. Every believer. Why? Because you can't have something before it's available. You ever learned that before? You can't manifest something if it's not available. You can't manifest a 2018 Volvo if it's not available yet. You understand? Can you manifest the Spirit of God if you don't have the Spirit of God?
No.
No. Please note that every manifestation listed here is only available to the born-again believer. You agree? That's what the Word teaches. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have, it says, the gift of prophecy. The words the gift of in the King James Version, the translators put them in italics so you know they were not in the original text. When you read in the King James Version, the old King James Version, I don't know what they're doing with this new stuff, but the old King James Version, when you read an italicized word, that is not the word of God. The King James people put those words in italics to let you know that they were added by the translators to try to make you understand their theology. That's why they added them. So, it reads, "And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries." Okay, we just read about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12. Prophecy is what? A manifestation of the Spirit. And all knowledge. And though I have all what? Faith, all pistis. All faith. Faith is listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 14 are a continuation of 1 Corinthians 12. That's why people don't understand them either, because they take them out of context instead of reading them as a unit. The word faith is listed among the other manifestations of the Spirit, making faith a what? Manifestation of what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. All faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Here again are listed some of the manifestations of the Spirit. This verse is talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, amongst other things. Listed among the manifestation of the Spirit is all faith, or all believing, all pistis. In both instances, we have just read in the book of Corinthians, this pistis, or this believing, is listed with and as a manifestation of the Spirit. So it's clear that there is a manifestation of the Spirit called the manifestation of believing. And there is a biblical difference between the manifestation of believing and just regular believing. I'm going to show it to you. If you stop to think about it, the manifestation of believing, of pistis, of believing, can't possibly be the same manifestation of believing that is talked about in verse 9 of Romans 10:9. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
How could you possibly operate the Spirit in order to obtain the Spirit?
Good point.
Right? Can't be the manifestation of the Spirit, because in order to have the manifestation of the Spirit, you've got to have the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. When you confess and believe, then God imparts Spirit to you. Now, once you believe and you're born again, at that point, could you operate the manifestation of the Spirit?
Yes.
Sure you could, if you knew how, right? You also could operate gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, and all those other things, right? Because now you're equipped to do so. So you can't do something, you can't have something before it's available. How do you receive from God? You got to know what? What is what?
Available.
This isn't rocket science, it's simple. Romans tells us to believe, to become the children of God. That's what Romans teaches us. Corinthians teaches us that there is a manifestation of the Spirit that you are able to operate when we are the children of God. See the difference? Evidently, they're not the same thing. They cannot possibly be the same thing, not if the word is right. They may be similar, but I guarantee you they are not identical. Man's basic spiritual problem is always the integrity of the word. Now listen to me. In order for God's revelation to be manifested as so to be able to be understood by man, he had to use words. That's what he did. He had to use words. There is knowledge that comes by way of the five senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. Okay? You can learn by the five senses. For instance, when you go to school, you can learn by the five senses. Or if you go to some of our colleges, what they teach you by the five senses is to be hostile towards God, to hate God, to not mention the name of God on our college campus. You see Joe that was here from Carroll, North Carolina just last week. I sat at the table talking with him. He goes to a college campus down there with an evangelist. And what they do is they talk about God. And you know what happens? The students come up to him and say, "Don't you mention that name here. Get off of the campus." And then they proceed to get the police and say that they're harassing them, and the police come and escort them off the campus. So you know what they do? They go across the street from the campus, and then they talk about God. That's what they do. You could possibly learn at school. You can learn by way of the five senses. This is where I'm going with this. By conversation, we can have a talk, and you can tell me where there's a better cheeseburger that I'm used to eating, and I can learn. You can learn from the media. I didn't say it would be good things to learn. As our president lovingly calls it, false news. Hey, let me tell you something about the president that I've never seen a president in a long time do. You know what he did? You know what he tweeted? He said, "We don't worship government in the United States. We worship God."
Wow.
And he's a wonderful man. You ever hear of any president doing that?
No.
Yeah, go look it up. But they won't, you won't see that on the news. See, you know, because he's the great whatever. See, if we believe the things that we have taken in with our five senses, that's called believing. We have confidence and we trust in the things that we receive to the end that we act upon it. That's called positive believing. Let me be engaging, Miss Mal. What is your favorite car? If you had a choice for a car, because we got to replace Charlie, what would you like to replace Charlie with? Okay, she wants an amphibious car. So she wants something that's good in water. Say it was a Datsun 300, a Z300. What's your favorite color, honey?
Green.
Green. A green Z300. And lo and behold, I'm on the internet. And I'm looking for lawnmower parts, because that's all I do on the internet. And I see a Nissan dealer's having a 24-hour sale. And listed amongst the cars that are on a 24-hour sale is a green Nissan 300. And the sale says 50% off. 50% off. Now she wants to replace Charlie with a green Nissan 300. And the sale says 50% off. I've received by the five senses information. Okay? So I pick up the phone and I make a phone call. And I say to the salesman, so-and-so, I'm so-and-so. It is my understanding that you have a green 300 Nissan. See, I show my age when I say Datsun. Nissan. For sale, and it's normally $30,000, but this one day, it's 50% off. It's $15,000. Is that correct? Absolutely, sir. We bought too many of these. We are overstocked. We're waiting for the new model year to come in. The boss said, get them off the lot, but I'm only going to do it for one day, 50% off. Do you have one there? Yes, I do, sir. Will you reserve it for me? Yes, I will, sir. Can I give you a credit card number so you will reserve it for me and give me a confirmation? Absolutely, sir. So I buy him DeMau, a brand new green 300 Nissan with air conditioning and a year's supply of gasoline. See? I made the phone call. I had confidence in what the man was telling me. I trusted what he said is true. I get in the car. I wake up my wife. I said, we got to get there. There's only 4 hours left to the sale. Because without her, I would never get to the sale. I would be lost. She gets me to the sale with 15 minutes to spare, and we buy a new what? And buy a new car. That's positive believing. Right? And the next time you come to fellowship, you say, where did Nicole get that new car? And I tell you the story. You could have just as easily said, when you were on the internet looking for a new car, oh, that's too good to be true. There's no way in the world you can buy a car for 50% off. It's got to be a scam or a ripoff. And you just dismissed it as BS because it's a G-Serm. Right? So when you see her with a new car, you say to yourself, oh, I should have believed I could have got a new car for 50% off too. You see? And that week, your car took a dump, like my lawnmower did a few weeks ago. You see, you receive the result of your believing. You didn't trust it. You didn't have confidence in it, so you didn't act positively. Therefore, you didn't receive a new car at 50% off. I made the phone call. I had confidence. I had trust. I got my wife. We went, and therefore, I got the car at 50% off. You received the result of your believing. That's why you've heard it said in the past at time, believing equals receiving. See? Information that we take in by our five senses, we operate believing, whether negative or positive. That's if you take it to heart. Now, I agree that there is information that you just don't even listen to. It goes in one ear and out the other. And at that point, you don't have to make a decision or think about it. Just clean, clear through. That's the way you should teach us. When we read or hear God's word, we receive it by the senses. We hear the word. We then trust the word. We have confidence in what we heard. See? We believe the information, and so we then what? Act on it. We believe it, then we act on it. We have the inner conviction in the heart of our mind that produces action and appropriates results. The action was I got in the car, I went to the car lot, the appropriation of the results was I came back with a green Nissan. See it? That's the way it works. This is what Romans 10:9 is talking about. Likewise, that's what Romans 10:9 is talking about. You hear the word. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Okay. You hear the word that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Okay. You hear the word by your senses. That if you believe, confess and believe, you're going to be saved. You have confidence that God is able to do which he says he's able to do. And his willingness is equal to his ability. You trust that this is available and God wouldn't lie to you. So in the heart of your mind, you believe and you appropriate the result, and in this particular case, the result is that you get what? Saved. See it? You get born again. You get salvation. You get to become a child of God. You get the Spirit of God. I can go on and on. That's the way it works. That's what Romans 10:9 is talking about. You hear the information. You have the ability to believe. You choose whether it's true. Have you ever talked to people about the Word of God and they say, and walked away? Why is that? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. And have you ever talked to someone about the Word of God and they say, I believe that. And they get born again and they sit next to you in fellowship for the rest of your life, maybe? Right? Why is that? Because they believed. That's what Romans 10:9 is talking about. Likewise, information that comes from the Spirit by way of revelation manifestations. We also have to operate believing. But it's a specific type of believing. And this type of believing is called the manifestation of believing. We don't receive it sense knowledge-wise, so to speak. We receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom. How? By what? Revelation. We're still receiving knowledge. And in order to carry that revelation out, you have to operate the manifestation of believing. You got it? Believing that comes by way of the five senses, anybody can operate. Anybody. If you're breathing, you can operate it. Believing that comes by way of the Spirit, which is called the manifestation of believing, only a born-again child of God can operate. And that's the fundamental difference between believing and the manifestation of believing. And although it may seem identical at a cursory glance, when you work the word, you see that in fact they are very different. And since God has chosen to use words to explain himself to mankind, we should with due diligence take care to rightly divide this wonderful word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity and yet the depth of it. And thank you, Father, for continuing to teach us and instruct us along the way of believing. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Carmen, why don't you sing a song up here? Lead us with a song. And then we can talk, Jonathan. Why don't you? But I enjoyed what he picked this morning. Just pick one out. About believing is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. And that maybe that person who wrote that song understood a little bit. Because a person can believe, but it takes faith to unlock the door, Jesus Christ.